thinking we need a little time alone.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me today. Well, you know how it goes. You get sick, you need some help, you go to the doctor, and the doctor writes you a prescription. You take it to the pharmacy or to the drugstore. You get your little bottle of magic. You take one 3 times a day. And given 3 or 4 or 5 days, you're back to good health. That's pretty typical for those of us living in the Western world. In Bible times, however, things were rather different. When we consider the Bible, we think of God as the great physician. And in the absence of cardiologists and rheumatologists and all the other ologists, people then had to deal with rudimentary methods of healing, or they dealt with God, the great physician. Today, we're going to talk about healing foods of the Bible. The thought is that perhaps the great physician has given us medication that we can get at other places than the drugstore, perhaps at the supermarket or right out of our garden. I'm being joined today by my special guest, Dr. John Westerdahl, a nutritionist from the Bragg Health Institute in Santa Barbara, in Southern California. Dr. Westerdahl, thank you for joining me today.
Great to be with you, John.
Now, this idea of health and the Christian anyway, why does it matter that Christians look after their health, that believers in God should look after their health?
Well, you know, in the Bible, it tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to take care of it, not defile that temple, but take good care of it and put good things into it is very important.
Yeah,
and,
but I don't mind getting right in here, but it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it.
Well, actually, we were bought with a price. Jesus dying on the cross for us. So it's not totally our body. God gave us this magnificent creation that we need to take care of.
As a matter of fact, it says right in that very verse you were referencing, for you are not your own.
That's right.
So that idea that I can do whatever I want with my body because after all it's mine, it isn't yours really, is it?
It really isn't.
It belongs to God.
We inherited it from God.
Let me share a Bible verse here that I think is very relevant to what we're talking about. How about that? Turn right to the page.
Okay.
3 John verse 2. And John, who wrote Revelation and wrote the Gospels, he wrote the little Johns as well, 3 of them. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
That's right. And it's connected, because if we are healthy, we can communicate better with God. Our minds are clearer. We're enjoying life. It's kind of hard to be rejoicing all the time if you're sick. And by having good health, we have a clear mind, we can really enjoy a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
John made it very clear that there's a direct relationship between our physical health and our mental and spiritual health.
There really is. It's really a holistic approach that the Bible is all about. Holistic with a W. Body, mind, and spirit. It is all related. And the things we're going to talk about today, the foods that we eat, have a direct relationship and helping to us improve that health.
Yeah, this looks pretty good. I'm not sure whether to talk to you or just eat the set.
There's a lot of food here to eat today and all healthy.
Maybe a little bit of both. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Bible talks so much about health. Why do you think that is?
This book, I believe, is one of the greatest books ever written on total wellness, preventive medicine, lifestyle medicine. God's concerned about our health. He wants us to be healthy. Within the pages of the Bible, we see a lot of health principles given to us. So it's all there. And He wants us to take advantage of this so that we can live life more abundantly.
Now, you mentioned something just a moment ago. You said lifestyle medicine.
Yes.
Now, what's that?
Lifestyle medicine, it's a new emerging type of medicine that's coming into our country today. There's actually what we call the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, where there are physicians who are specializing in treatment with lifestyle, diet, exercise, stress management, spiritual wellness, as opposed to using just medications. Not that they won't use medications for emergencies or as needed with patients, but we are finding out more and more that the foods that we eat are healing to our bodies. If we eat the right type of diet, we can prevent, treat, and even reverse many of the diseases that are killing us today.
Now, I have heard of people with diabetes.
Yes.
Getting off their diabetes medication and seeing their adult onset diabetes going away. Mm-hmm. I've heard of people reversing heart disease. I must be responsible enough to say perhaps this isn't possible for everybody.
Right.
But certainly for many people, there are some well-known physicians who have said that they can reverse heart disease without using medication in many instances. This is very exciting.
Yes, it is. And it's very well documented in the medical literature. Lifestyle medicine, using lifestyle to treat diseases, to prevent diseases, and even in many cases, even reverse the diseases.
Now, it was Hippocrates that said, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food. But
yep.
If some of us were honest with ourselves, and we went into the pantry or the food cupboard at home, we'd say, well, you know, those chocolate cookies aren't going to be much in the way of medicine. And so when Hippocrates said that, what foods was he referring to?
He was talking about natural, whole, unprocessed foods. That's what he promoted with his own patients. He used nutrition with his patients. He used lifestyle medicine.
You know, there are a lot of diets available today, and some of the well-known ones, South Beach, Atkins, Paleo, seafood, that is, seafood and eat it.
That's right.
But what about this Mediterranean diet? You hear a lot about that. It's hyped as or promoted as being very good. Is it very good? And if it is, why?
Well, the traditional Mediterranean diet is very good, and it is healing, because it's a diet that's based on whole, unprocessed foods, mostly from plant foods. The types of fats that you find in the Mediterranean diet are the healthier types of fats in general as compared to the high saturated fats, high cholesterol foods that we eat in the Western countries.
Well, there's a lot of food in front of us here, and I'm guessing that much of this is representative of the Mediterranean diet. I see figs, and I see dates, and I see grapes, and raisins, and grains, and good stuff. The healing foods of the Bible. We'll find out what they are specifically and how they can be a blessing to you with Dr. John Westerdahl in just a moment. The Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have good health. We need to take care of ourselves. The question is, how do we do that? Let me show you how with Healing Foods of the Bible, which I co-wrote with Dr. John Westerdahl. It's life-changing and health-saving. Healing Foods of the Bible. Call 1-800-253-3000, write to the address on your screen, or visit IIWoffer.com.
Planning for your financial future is a vital aspect of Christian stewardship. For this reason, It Is Written is pleased to offer free planned giving and estate services. For information on how we can help you, please call 800-992-2219. Call today or visit our website, hislegacy.com. Call 800-992-2219.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me today. With me is Dr. John Westerdahl, a nutritionist from the Bragg Health Institute in Santa Barbara, California. And today, we're talking about healing foods of the Bible. I'm interested in the idea that foods can actually heal, like medicine. So in front of us here,
okay,
there's all kinds of different foods. Let's talk about what you have and how and why it's healing.
Well, here you go. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. You've heard that?
That's good for non-doctors, not so good for doctors, though, I suppose.
That's right, because an apple is an amazing food, because when you eat these apples, you can lower your cholesterol. They are high in soluble fiber that actually binds cholesterol and helps you remove that from the body. And studies have shown that people who have a couple apples a day in their diet can reduce their cholesterol by as much as 10%.
That's pretty good.
And the other amazing thing about apples is they're high in what we call polyphenol antioxidants. These are substances that are naturally occurring primarily in the skin of the apple that have anti-cancer properties, heart disease prevention properties. They prevent the oxidation or the aging of the cells in the body. There's some wonderful things. And, you know, this is true. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Very good. Apples, wonderful. And an apple is certainly biblical. We read about apples in the Bible many,
yes.
many times.
Okay, yes.
A healing food of the Bible. What else we got?
So the next one is apricots. And by the way, when you read in the Bible, when it talks about golden apples, it's probably an apricot. They're very rich in the what we call carotenoids, beta carotene, which makes it that bright yellow color. These pigments that you find in apricots also have anti-cancer properties, and it's a great food for overall health. It's great and delicious, too.
Now, let me ask a question about color. You should eat foods of different colors, correct? And if I'm right, why is that?
I recommend eating a rainbow of colors of food because all these different colors in food, God has put these colors in all these different foods, and they all have special benefits. The more colorful the diet, the better it is for you, as opposed to the white bread and the white sugar and all those white refined foods where all the color's been taken away. Well, a lot of those nutrients have been taken away. So most scientists and nutritionists will tell you to eat a colorful diet with lots of fruits and vegetables.
All right, good. Okay, what else we have?
The other is a Bible grain, barley. And barley in the Holy Land and in the Middle East is considered a heart medicine.
Okay.
Amongst the common people, because it is high in soluble fiber, which can actually help you lower your cholesterol. Barley has been shown to lower the bad type of cholesterol, what we call the LDL cholesterol, and actually help in increase the good cholesterol, the good guy cholesterol, called HDL cholesterol, the high-density lipoprotein cholesterol.
Now, isn't that also true of oats, oatmeal, porridge,
yes.
where I grew up?
Oats is another grain that has some similar properties as far as cholesterol-lowering benefits.
So when the Bible was talking about barley, it was talking about something that didn't just make a good biblical point, but it was good for you.
It was. It is.
And can help to reverse significant disease.
Yes, and it's a very rich source of antioxidants, particularly what we call tocotrienols, which is related to vitamin E.
How do you eat barley? Many people are wondering, what do I do with this? Do I put it in a stew? Do I fry it? Can I bread it and deep fry it?
No, you don't want to do that.
All
but
right.
you can use it and make a flour with it and use it in grains and different types of healthy bakery-type products. Also, just cooking barley up is really good. It's very good to add as a cereal, and you'll find, of course, barley a lot in vegetable soups.
What's next? What have we got?
Well, the next one is nature's candy, dates. Well, dates, of course, are very high in calories from natural sweets, but they're very high in nutrients as well, like potassium, magnesium. They're a very good source of dietary fiber. This is a healthier sweet than candy.
Healing foods of the Bible. So far, apples, they're good. Apricots, they're wonderful. Barley, that's good stuff. Dates, they're magnificent. This all tastes good, and it's extraordinarily good for you, even to the point of being healing. Healing Foods of the Bible, we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Every Word is a one-minute Bible-based daily devotional presented by Pastor John Bradshaw and designed especially for busy people like you. Look for Every Word on selected networks or watch it online every day on our website, itiswritten.com.
Now, I have no idea how companies actually do this research, but a survey of 2,000 adults in the United Kingdom found that people there spent more time sitting on the toilet than they spend exercising. 3 hours and 9 minutes a week on the throne versus 90 minutes a week exercising. A quarter of the people exercise only 30 minutes or less, which is surprising. If you're trying to figure out how a person can spend 189 minutes a week, and you're going that 7 days times, how long would that take? You've got to factor in smartphones, which are driving up the amount of time people spend, you know. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Might be time to get a little more exercise. Might be time we looked after ourselves a bit better. And where did you watch this? I'm John Bradshaw for It Is Written. Let's live today by every word. This is It Is Written. Thanks for joining me today. In the Bible, the wise man urged us to eat for strength. And the same book, the Holy Bible, reveals to us that there are healing foods, foods that you can eat that taste good and are good for you, even to the point of helping you combat some pretty significant diseases. Dr. John Westerdahl, tell me about some more healing foods of the Bible.
Well, another one is figs, and that can be dried like this or also fresh. These figs are, of course, very sweet. They're almost like a candy as well, but they're a very good source of potassium. They're a very good source of the soluble fiber to also lower your cholesterol. And they're a wonderful food. They can be incorporated in many different types of foods.
Jesus cursed the fig tree, but I'm sure in many times he ate figs and blessed other fig trees as well.
I believe he did.
These are real good things. Okay, so figs, biblical, good for you. What else?
And then garlic, one of my favorite vegetables. Garlic actually was a food and a medicine with the children of Israel long before Moses led them. And what's exciting about garlic is it's a heart-healthy food. It's been shown in a number of studies to help you lower your bad LDL cholesterol and increase the good HDL cholesterol. It prevents blood clotting, has antibacterial properties, and is listed as one of the top anti-cancer foods.
Fantastic. I like that. All right.
And then we have grapes and also raisins.
Do you think the grapes that were brought back from the Promised Land were that size or a little bit bigger?
I think they're a lot bigger.
They're a little bigger. Okay.
It's amazing how big some of these grapes are.
Yeah.
But grapes are rich in antioxidants and phytochemicals. One of the ones that we know of, particularly the red grape in the skins and even the seeds, is resveratrol, mm-hmm. which is considered a very healthy antioxidant that you find in grapes.
So far, you know, out of everything we've talked about, you have to cook the barley and you probably wouldn't want to eat too much raw garlic. But all of the rest of these things, not very expensive, some of it positively inexpensive, and they taste good.
And they taste good, and they add a lot of great flavor to food as
now,
well.
There are many people who are not convinced that leafy green vegetables can taste good. I beg to differ. You've got their collard greens and curly kale.
That's right.
And spinach by the look of it. And, you know, Popeye showed us all you need to do is eat that stuff and get big muscles.
That's right. In the Holy Land, they ate a lot of green vegetables with their diet. And these things are high in antioxidants. They're high in lutein, which is the antioxidant that's good for your eyes also. You can put it in different types of recipes and flavorful soups and get all these healthy nutrients from the greens. And what's popular now is a lot of people are putting these in smoothies mixed with apple juice and a little banana, and they're getting their greens in their diet that way in a nice flavorful way.
Drinking their greens. All right. Now, I know there's more. There are more healing foods of the Bible.
There's a lot more to share.
Okay. We'll be back with those healing foods of the Bible. We'll find out exactly what they are and how you can enjoy them and be blessed by them. More in a moment. The Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have good health. We need to take care of ourselves. The question is, how do we do that? Let me show you how with Healing Foods of the Bible, which I co-wrote with Dr. John Westerdahl. It's life-changing and health-saving. Healing Foods of the Bible. Call 1-800-253-3000, write to the address on your screen, or visit IIWOffer.com. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000. Or you could visit us online at itiswritten.com. This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. In the last couple of minutes, my guest, Dr. John Westerdahl, has rushed off to the grocery store and rushed back again with more healing foods of the Bible. And they look great. I see hummus and pistachios and honey and olives, some of my favorite foods. How are these healing foods of the Bible?
Well, they're all great, and they're delicious and nutritious, and we're going to start off with the first ones, and these are beans, peas, and lentils. These are the fava beans from the Holy Land that were used quite often, and the white beans that were used often in biblical times, as well as the lentils. And these beans, peas, and lentils are very rich sources of vegetable protein, high levels of protein, without all that cholesterol and saturated fat you get from meat products and so forth. And they are also, one of the other benefits with this is they're high in that soluble fiber. So not only do they have no cholesterol or saturated fat in them, they have a fiber that helps you lower your cholesterol because of the soluble fiber.
Something about fibrous foods, too. You eat them and you feel more full than if you're eating foods that lack fiber and are just kind of empty.
That's right. And the one thing they're finding out more in the research today is eating more beans is very helpful for diabetics trying to keep their blood sugar under control.
Correct.
Now, one of the foods that, another type of bean, actually, legume, is garbanzo beans. And, of course, you make hummus with that. Mm. And that's one of the traditional Bible foods, healing foods, that was used in ancient times as a garnish or a relish, I should say, to use with like that whole wheat pita bread.
Now, in some places, we call these chickpeas.
Yes, chickpeas is another common name for them.
But as long as you can call the end product hummus, you're doing okay.
That's right.
This is fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so, and it's not hard to make. It's easy to find, not too expensive to buy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Add to that some pita bread, and you're good to go.
You really are.
And this is good for you.
And it's good for you as well.
In Bible times, in the Mediterranean part of the world, they eat this.
They eat that all the time. It's a staple.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next.
Okay, the next one is a grain, and this is millet. When someone tells you they eat like a bird, they're probably eating millet because that's what bird seed is.
Mm-hmm.
But millet is used in many bread products. It's a grain in itself that you can cook up and make as a hot cereal. And it's a very good source of fiber and also provides some vegetable protein as well.
And what I can see here is that if somebody's eating stuff they know is just not real good, you can substitute some things out and some things in to take their place.
Yes.
And just simple changes result in really good benefits to the health.
Right. Getting a wide variety of foods is important. And, you know, choose the ones that you like and try different recipes. Now, of course, since the Garden of Eden times, nuts were eaten all the time in the Middle East in the Bible times. We got pistachios, as you mentioned, walnuts, almonds. All these were favorite nuts and are still used traditionally in the Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm. Very good for you. They taste wonderful. Walnuts loaded with omega-3s, which are good in combating cancer and other illnesses as well.
Yes, they have the healthy types of fats and antioxidants, particularly vitamin E.
Great.
And, of course, there's olives and olive oil. When you think of the Mediterranean diet, is very important. All types of different olives were eaten. Olive oil and olives, of course, it has the heart-healthy type of fat. When you look for an olive oil, you want to make sure you get, ideally, organic, extra virgin olive oil. First cold press is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a healthier type of fat, monounsaturated fat. And also with olive oil, you see this one here from Greece, you see it's cloudy.
Yeah.
That means it's unfiltered and unrefined. Many of the olive oils you get in the market are filtered, so they're clear, but you're losing a lot of those important healthful benefits when you refine the olive oil.
I'll give this back to you. Is there a wrong way to use oil? I mean, should I deep fry my candy bars in this good unfiltered Greek olive oil?
No, that would ruin this Greek olive oil. In fact, it would damage it and destroy a lot of the health properties that you find in it.
How should I eat it?
If you use olive oil first, cold pressed, lower temperatures, like on your salad type foods, is very good. But if you do it with cooking, use it at low temperature cooking, because cooking high temperatures with oils really destroys it.
And clearly, there's a way to eat that doesn't contribute to your overall well-being.
Right.
So that's why we're talking about healing foods of the Bible today, and these are all the good things.
Then we have leeks, and that's a famous Jewish food, right? And onions.
The Welsh love leeks.
And these have a lot of the similar properties that I mentioned earlier with garlic. They have antibacterial properties, they have heart-healthy properties, and of course, the great thing about onions and leeks, they add great flavor to your recipe.
Oh, yeah. They smell great.
Then comes pomegranate, and pomegranates are an anti-aging food that has become very popular lately. And what's nice, you can get the pomegranates and cut it open, try to get these little insides out. But now you can go to the grocery store, and they're all opened up for you, and you can buy them all peeled and all that for you.
Mm.
And, of course, pomegranate juice is another concentrated way of getting it, and that's also very popular these days. Pomegranates are high in antioxidants, and particularly ellagic acid, which seems to have some anti-cancer properties as well as heart health benefits as well.
Now, I see in front of you have wheat and then bread, which is the product of wheat. So yes. What is it about wheat that's particularly good for us?
Well, wheat has a lot of B-complex vitamins. It has a lot of fiber. And you got to get the whole wheat bread and whole wheat to make sure you get that fiber. And it has some other interesting antioxidants that can be beneficial to our heart health as well. And of course, wheat provides a lot of good, healthy calories to our diet.
What we know, just to reiterate here, a lot of people who are sick today wouldn't be if they had adopted a healthy diet earlier in their lives.
Yes.
So we're encouraging people today to really preserve their health, eat well, live long, and prosper.
That's right.
All right, the Bible way.
Okay. The Bible way. And then we have honey. This one thing the Bible talks about, a little bit of honey is good for you, but too much can make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
It adds a lot of great flavor and sweetness to foods and your recipes and putting on some foods, but use it in moderation.
And in the Bible, God used honey as a symbol of good things, even a symbol of his law, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, we read in the Word of God. Now, I'm fascinated because in the Bible, there's actually a bread recipe.
There is.
No kidding. I'm going to read it. It's in Ezekiel chapter 4, Ezekiel 4:9. Take thou also unto thee wheat, and barley, and beans, and lentils, and millet, and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie on thy side. And he specifies those days, and the fitches is spelt, another grain, and we have it here. Lentils, and millet, and spelt, and wheat, and barley, and those beans there.
That's right.
And here's the bread. The recipe found in Ezekiel 4 and verse 9. Smells good and it tastes great.
Great.
Ezekiel 4:9. Who knew that God put a bread recipe right there in the Bible? Well, some did. Most people have no idea.
That's right.
And these are healing foods of the Bible.
They are, John. And we want to get much of these types of varieties of foods in our diet every day so that we can enjoy good health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. It's important too because that's God's plan for us.
It is.
To live well in this world, to enjoy good health in this world, to fend off as many illnesses and diseases as we can. If we live longer, we have more time to donate and dedicate to God.
Correct.
If we live healthier, we have more energy to give to God. If we adopt God's diet, healthy body, healthier mind, we can hear God's voice better. Isn't that true?
That's right.
And Jesus in John 10 verse 10 said one reason he came to this world is that we might have life and have it more abundantly, not less. Too many of us are ripping ourselves off because we're not eating the healing foods of the Bible. Dr. Westerdahl, thank you for joining me today. This has been a blessing.
Great being with you today, John.
And I'm hungry now.
I am too.
But let's pray because some of us have got some work to do in our diet and all of us want to enjoy the blessing of God. Let's thank Him for these healing foods of the Bible. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you have put into these wonderful natural things the very things we need to do well in this world. Right there on the shelves of a supermarket or in the gardens that grow where we live, you have loaded into these wonderful things health and wellness in such a way that it will bless us in this world and into the world to come. So guide and bless us, please. I want to thank you for providing that which you have provided, the healing foods of the Bible. May they bring healing and life to us. I pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you've joined us today. I look forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church, Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Heat advisory in effect for today. A mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs in the lower 90s. The heat index, though, approaching 100. A south breeze of 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear and lows in the lower 70s. One call to Tax Solutions now will solve all your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. Currently 74 degrees.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. I kind of hate to cut off the conversation. It's nice to have so many people back in worship as summer comes to a close and we begin a new school year this week. So thanks for those that are here, and remember to bring their backpacks for our backpack blessing. We'll be doing that during the children's message. Our radio broadcast today is sponsored by LaVon Beal in honor of her 66th wedding anniversary, which was on August 23rd, right? And so we remember, stand today with you and give thanks for your long marriage. Thanks for the sponsorship. Sunday school begins on Sunday, September 8th, so a couple of weeks from now. And we have some new teachers this year who like to take up space in the front row. So some of our recent confirmands are going to be doing Sunday school, teaching Sunday school this year. So we're really thankful that they stepped up and are willing to do that. And Tracy has equipped them well, so thanks for that. A reminder also that September 8th is God's Work, Our Hand Sunday, a day of community service to benefit our local community. So this year we're going to be collecting donations for the baby and toddler closet that has found new life in the basement of our church here. So if you can bring diapers, wipes, baby food, or even cash donations, it will go towards that closet for people in our community. On September 11th, we begin our year of Faith Lift learning with our confirmation students, our 6th through 8th graders. So anyone 6th through 8th grade is welcome to be part of that program. We'll begin on the 11th at 5:30 with a family and student potluck, and then kind of all the information for the year. And that will be for Faith and Rock Creek here together at Faith. So mark your calendars for that. We're also collecting school supplies for Lutheran World Relief. If you're interested in that, there are some drawstring backpacks and shopping lists on the pew in the narthex area, so you can grab those. We need to collect those by September 22nd or whatever that Sunday is, but so you have some weeks left to do that. I understand it's hard to find notebooks, so keep looking, and if you can't get exactly 70-sheet notebooks, you can get 80-sheet, you know, whatever you can find. I did notice there were some at the local dollar stores here in town, so you might not have to go too far to find them. And then this is just a reminder, I announced it last week, but if you listen to the centering song or you wonder, what was the scripture today, you can hop on our Facebook page and see Grace at a Glance. It'll have the centering song for each week, the scripture, and a little snippet from my sermon. Any other announcements this morning? We've got Sunday supper, yeah. Okay, so Sunday supper set up right after worship, and then bingo begins at 3:30, meal at 4:30. Thank you if you volunteered to sign up to help or if you are donating food. So a little bit of setup after worship. And do you need some help carrying in soda as well?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, great. Any other announcements? For the last couple of weeks, we have been practicing something that our youth learned on the mission trip called Yay Gods, an opportunity to celebrate the ways in which we have seen God at work in our lives, especially in the past week, but any time recently. And so you share something that God has done, that you've seen God at work doing, and we reply with, Yay God. So we're practicing this for several weeks in a row because it takes a little time to notice what God is up to and to know that you're going to be asked. So does anyone have anything to share from this week or recently?
2 more pounds gone.
2 more pounds gone. Yay, God. Good. Yeah.
The headstone for my parents' grave was delivered this last week. We didn't know it. My husband
had
to stop there.
Oh, beautiful. Headstone for your parents. I saw the photo on Facebook. That was beautiful. Yay, God. Yeah.
He's 86
years old. Surgery was successful.
Three-quarter
inch also. Wow. Yay, God, for the successful surgery. Yeah. Anything else?
We had an arrival of a new student for our house this year, for the year.
Yes, an international student, an exchange student with a long history with your family, right? Because your mother was your exchange student when Kendra was growing up, and now that's pretty awesome. Yay, God. We hope to meet her soon. She's probably still adjusting the time change Maria suggested, right? All the stuff. Anything else? All right, we'll continue to pay attention to what God is up to, especially in this coming week as school starts and all kinds of excitement heading into the fall. We'll begin with our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance. The words are on the screen. It's also in your blue hymnal, 699. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Whispers of love, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Creator God, you have curated grace upon grace in our lives. As we reflect on your goodness and mercy, make us mindful of the abundant grace that is ours through Jesus. Ready us to share that grace with others as we look for you moving in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll invite the children to come forward, children of all ages, for our backpack blessing. So bring your backpacks if you have them. If you forgot them, you can still come forward because really we're blessing you, right? I'm going to bring my backpack too. And we'll sit kind of right up here for a minute and talk a little before the blessing. All right. Good morning. Come on up. It's so good to see you. I missed all of you if you weren't here, but some of you I haven't seen for a while. It was a good summer. You were all busy adventuring, spending time with family and friends and doing all the good summer stuff, but it's good to be back together. Thanks for being here this morning. What are some things that you will pack in your backpack, if you haven't already, for school? You can just say it. What are some things? A notebook. A ruler. Glue. Pencils. What else? I know the list is longer. I shopped the list times three. What else is in your backpack? Yeah, Addie. Patience? Oh, look at that. She's stepping right up. Yeah. Crayons? Uh-huh. Apparently, what was that? Colored pencils. We have a TI-84 calculator in our backpack this year. That was an $80 purchase. Woo! Yeah, there's lots of things that teachers ask us to bring to school so that we are ready and prepared to be students, right? Well, Jesus and Jesus' disciples were going on a journey, kind of like starting school. They were going out to learn from other people. Jesus sent them out two by two. So he said, take a friend, but other than that, take nothing. No bag, no extra clothes, nothing. They didn't have a list of supplies they had to pack before they went. Jesus said, take nothing. And that seems a little strange to us as we get ready for a school year, right? Because even me, I still carry my backpack. I'm a lifelong learner. That's why I still use a backpack to remind me that I'm always a student, even though I'm not in school anymore. And I have all kinds of things. I don't even know what's all in my backpack, but I have all kinds of things just in case I need it. But when Jesus sent his disciples out, he said, take nothing. You don't need anything except God's love and to trust in the people you're going to meet, that they will give you what you need, if it's food, if it's a place to sleep. And so even though we are packing up our backpacks with all of the school supplies we need, all the stuff that we need to be a good student, there are certain things we don't have to pack because they're just already with us, right? God's love goes with us into the classroom and then out of this building into the rest of our lives. Things like Addie mentioned, patience, all of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things are just part of us as baptized children of God. And so we give thanks that even as we bless the start of our school year and our backpacks, that there are certain things that when we're rushing in the morning because we got up late and our toast gets burned and it's just not a good start to the day, there are certain things we don't have to remember to pack because they're already with us, right? And so we're thankful for that. I want you to be able to take to school with you. And so I'm going to show you our backpack blessing cards this year are very pretty. Aaron Richardson, who's a member at the other church I serve at Rock Creek, handmade each of these. I mean, I don't even know how many hours it took her. These are diamond art beads, and then she sealed them with a special covering. And it's got a little clip that you can hang it on your backpack, okay? So our gift for you this year are these beautiful handmade crosses from Aaron. And then they come on this card that says, Dear God, let your grace and love be with, and then there's a place to write your name, today and always, in Jesus' name, amen. And here it says, backed, packed, and blessed by God. So this is my invitation for you. This is what we're going to do today. In a moment, not quite yet, in a moment, you're going to come up and you're going to pick one of these, find a cross you like, and it'll stick to the card because of the magnet on the back. And then, this is probably the most important part, you're going to go back out into the congregation and pick an adult to be your prayer partner for the year. Okay? I'm going to give you a colored pencil so you can write your name on this card somewhere so that the adult knows your name. And then they're going to hang this on your backpack, and you're going to give this card to them with the magnet, and they're going to take it home, and they're going to put it on their refrigerator with the magnet so every time they see it, they can remember to pray for you throughout the school year, okay? It's a pretty awesome thing. People love to be prayer partners, okay? So make sure that you spread out the love. Some people like to pick the same prayer partners. Let's try to make sure that anyone that wants to be a prayer partner can be, okay? And if there's a little place to write your name, but if you can't write that small yet because your letters are still really big, you can write down here, okay? Anywhere on the white space. Any questions before we do this? Okay, so you're going to pick one of these. You're going to get a pencil from me. You're going to find a prayer partner, okay? And then prayer partners, wait. Don't hang these on their backpacks right away. We're going to have a special litany, and then I'll tell you when it's time to hang them on, okay? Okay, go. I've got the colored pencils over here. Take a picture. Oops, there we go. You can just take a pencil and either write your name here or take it to your prayer partner, whatever you want to do. Just your first name is fine. Pencils. Some colored pencils. And once you find your prayer partner, stay by them, please, and we'll share a little litany together. And even adults that aren't chosen to be prayer partners are still prayer partners for all of us. We're going to all take part in the litany. All right, so find a prayer partner and stay by them. Oh, hey, prayer partner. What are we, like 4 years strong now? Love that. Okay. Do you need a pencil? Okay. Let me find my, what did I do when I clicked? All right, what I'm going to ask us to do then is I'll read in the blue and the rest of you can read in the black. And if your prayer partner's comfortable with it, you can place a hand on a shoulder or even on their backpack as we bless them for the start of the school year. And this blessing is for our teachers too, okay? Dear God, you are our teacher, creator, and guide through life's classroom. As we prepare for the beginning of a new school year, we ask your blessings on our students, parents, and teachers. We thank you for pens and pencils that are held by big and little fingers as they learn to write their names, their thoughts, and their stories. Bless the words that flow from these pens and bless the ones that write them. We thank you for crayons and markers for all the bright colors in the world around us. May they be used to create beautiful pieces of art that show the wonder of creation in each child's imagination. Bless the art that is created and the ones who draw and color with them. We thank you for calculators and rulers that help us to add and subtract, multiply and divide as we learn to work with numbers, shapes, and how the world works. Bless the ones who help us understand these things and more. We thank you for notebooks, folders, and binders, for handouts that teach us our letters and numbers, and blank pages we can fill with our own thoughts and stories. Bless these things that help keep our thoughts and work together, and bless the ones who fill them with writing and drawings. We thank you for the books we read, for the books that teach us our history, the books that teach us who we are, and the books that open up magical worlds of possibility. Bless these books and the stories they tell, and bless the ones who read them. We thank you for our teachers, who fill our children's minds with knowledge, who nurture their spirits, and who protect them while in their care. We thank you for our principals, counselors, custodians, nurses, classroom aides, cafeteria workers, and bus drivers, who take care of our students. May they receive the support they need and the honor they deserve as they live into their calling to educate this generation. Bless our teachers in their sacred work. We thank you for our parents, grandparents, and other childcare providers who support and encourage their students in all that they do. We spend countless hours helping with homework, volunteering in classrooms, and driving the carpools. Bless our parents in their sacred work. We thank you for our backpacks that carry everything we need. Although they may be heavy with school supplies, may the children that wear them be unburdened. As we add a cross to these backpacks, may the students who wear them know that Jesus goes with them. So you can hang the cross on the student's backpack now. All right. I'm going to add it to your zipper. These are so cool. Maybe. Oh my gosh. Oh, you don't have a... Oh, I see what I'm trying to do. Get off it. There you go. Yes, thank you, Addie Weber. Let us pray. Hey, prayer partner. We thank you for our students, for the blessing that they are to us. Strengthen their bodies, minds, and spirits throughout this school year, that their knowledge might grow and their imagination soar with new thoughts, new achievements, and new dreams. Bless our students and all that they do, work and play, for it is all sacred work. In the name of Jesus, the great teacher, we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you. Blessings to all of you as you start another school year. We'll continue with our centering song. I invite you to stand as you're able as we welcome the word.
Listen, listen, God is calling to the word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
Our scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God.
I keep forgetting that I've added the words to the slideshow so you can read along. Next week, I'll try to remember. You may be seated. A good friend of mine is in a season of regrowth and reimagining in all aspects of her life, but especially spiritually. Feeling a strong call toward a ministry that is centered around offering radical and welcoming hospitality to people, she recently realized that the first step is to leave the secular working world and become the recipient of such hospitality for a season. And so recently, she and I imagined together what it might look like for her to spend a year traveling as the first disciples did, from town to town, anticipating and depending upon the generous hospitality of others. In our scripture reading today in Luke's gospel, this story falls between the healing of Jairus' daughter and the healing of the crowds who were then fed by 2 fish and 5 loaves. Healing at Jesus' hands surrounds Jesus' directive to his disciples that they might go out and proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick too. And so it got me thinking that the disciples themselves may have had some healing to do within themselves as well. That could only be experienced if they were removed from their routine and their familiar surroundings. Perhaps the journey that Jesus sent them on, one of complete trust in God and the strangers that they would meet, was in part so that the disciples could be healed in their body, mind, and spirit, even as they set out to heal others. And we know that often what we give away in the world returns to us, right? Beautifully and in unexpected ways. And maybe Jesus had experienced this empowering feeling as he healed and proclaimed God's kingdom, and he wanted his disciples to experience it too, but knew that in order for that to happen, they would have to leave his shadow. They couldn't ride his coattails anymore, but instead, they were instructed to take nothing. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra tunic, right? Because it's difficult to ride someone's coattails if you have no coat. Jesus instructed his disciples to take nothing for their journey. And so when my friend and I talked about how Jesus said, take nothing, we agreed that usually that's understood as leaving behind our possessions, right? Traveling lightly. The various items that we might deem suitable and necessary to pack for a trip. Because that's good travel preparation, right? To make sure you've thought of every possible scenario and you have everything along just in case. But in my friend's case, her spiritual upbringing is largely what has held her back from moving forward in ministry. And so I suggested that perhaps taking nothing for her journey might include leaving behind the narrowed and limited theology and suffocating standards that have paralyzed her for too long. Maybe her take nothing isn't just about leaving behind physical possessions, but also, or maybe even more so, about letting go of all that she thinks she knows about how God relates to her and the world, and to leave, discovering how God is relating to people from who she will receive this radical hospitality. And so surely the disciples, having followed Jesus and watching the ways in which people flocked to him for healing, developed a bit of assuredness that God was going to keep showing up as long as Jesus was in arm's reach. But in their experience, up to that point, it was limited. Their understanding of God working in healing was limited by being in proximity to Jesus. So Jesus sent them on this journey not just to be the change for the people they met and the healing and the proclaiming that others needed, but also to be changed by the people that they met, that God would put in their path. Out of sight from Jesus, but still very much in God's presence. This command from Jesus for his disciples to simply go, dropping the illusion of security, bringing nothing along to fall back on, seems kind of crazy, right? I mean, you might think I'm crazy for telling my friend to try it. Well, the disciples and my friend, though, are not alone on this journey. I recently read a life update from an author named Jacqueline Bussey, and I introduced you to her some time ago. I don't know if you remember her, but she wrote a book called Love Without Limits, and throughout writing it and trying to get it published, she was censored because the publisher thought it was too inclusive, and then a different publisher picked it up. It was this whole thing, and really a beautiful story. And then during our lament theme for Lent a couple years ago, I shared the story of her and her losing her husband. She had everything going for her a few years ago. She was a promising author, a highly decorated scholar, and she had just landed a new directorship at the Collegeville Institute for Ecumenical and Cultural Research. It was a big deal. But shortly before she began that position, she and her husband, Matt, took a vacation during which he unexpectedly died. He was just in his early 50s. And so she returned by herself to the new home that they had just bought, the unpacked boxes. She mourned and she grieved, and she began her new work. But recently,